Let's pray together. Dear God, at this time, send your Holy Spirit to us and illuminate your word. We really do want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. And may it be so this day. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 21st through the 35th verses. And I'll be reading this morning from the Common English Bible. Hear now the word of God. This section is called the Parable of the Unforgiving Servant. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Should I forgive them seven times?" Jesus said, "Not just seven times, but rather as many as 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle accounts, they brought to him a servant who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. Because the servant didn't have enough to pay it back, the master ordered that he should be sold along with his wife and children and everything he had, and that the proceeds should be used as payment. But the servant fell down and kneeled before him and said, 'Please be patient with me. I'll pay you back.' The master had compassion on that servant and released him and forgave him the loan. When the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 coins. He grabbed him around the throat and said, 'Pay me back what you owe me.' Then his fellow servant fell down and begged him, 'Be patient with me. I'll pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he threw him into prison until he paid the debt back. When his fellow servants saw what happened, they were deeply offended. They came and told their master all that happened. His master called the first servant and said, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you appealed to me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?' His master was furious and handed him over to the guard responsible for punishing prisoners until he had paid the whole debt. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if you don't forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. There are some scriptures that if I name the book and the chapter and the verse, you could pretty much most of us, if you've been in church some of your life, you would be able to say the verse. Like John 3:16. For you, good, y'all got it, you got it. Or it could be like the 23rd Psalm, or the 100th Psalm, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, yes, you're doing good. If I said Matthew 7:12, but if I said the golden rule, that's right, Matthew 7:12 is the golden rule. And if I was asked the question before I looked it up, I'd have thought, okay, that's the Sermon on the Mount. It's near the end. I don't have a clue. But I understand fully, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. What Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount is the Old Testament. The first five books of the Bible are the law. All the other books of the Old Testament pretty much have to deal with prophets. There are some writings and some other things, but the law and the prophets is a major part of the Old Testament. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you is important. But what I have found, as I watch TV, as I get on the internet and go to YouTube, as I watch various news shows of various persuasions. You know, there are multiple persuasions of news shows. The news on one channel is not the news on another channel. I thought the news was the news. And the way they tell it has a unique way of painting the other side, don't they? There is no such thing as you watch TV with "do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Can I get an amen? I don't care which side you sit on. It's a strange phenomenon in our world today. You're either for me or you're against me. And people don't have to do much to be against us. We pray that the people for which we do things against have really thick skin so they will not be hurt by what we say or do. While we have some of the most sensitive sin from using that Dove soap of anything, we have such tender skin and emotions. But we don't have problems telling other people in the most harshest ways with lava and steel wool and a metal brush and a flamethrower and a cutting torch and a bulldozer and a wrecking ball. Amen? Do I have an amen? And usually what I find is that there are people that have never done anything to anybody, but everybody else always is picking on them. What's that old song? Why is everybody picking on me? I need to preface this story because some of you don't know what it's like not to have a cell phone in your hand or any other way. There was a time, young people, that cell phones weren't in existence. And if you were out somewhere on the road or somewhere, you would have to use these things called a payphone. And you'd put a coin in it. So this is from a long, long time ago, this story. But it's a story Dr. Tom Long, professor of preaching, he's a professor emeritus at Candler, told. This adult son went to visit his father, who lived in Washington, D.C. His father worked in social justice. He worked for some company or some entity, and he was big into social justice. You name it, if somebody was in need, they were trying to help them. So the son comes on one weekend, and on Saturday morning, they go walking through Washington, D.C., and they're going to spend the morning walking and talking. And as they talked about social injustice and how the ways in which people in need are having their needs met and the initiatives this group that he worked for were doing those things, they were talking about this stuff. Well, while they were walking, they passed by this pizza place. And it was smelling good out in the street. And they said to each other, what we need to do is about 30 minutes before we get home, we'll stop by a payphone, make a call to the pizza place, get them to deliver a pizza to the house, and it will be ready when we get there. Great idea, Dad, because it smelled great. And they kept walking, talking about the social issues of the day. And they rounded a corner, and there stood a homeless man in need. And said, excuse me, do y'all have any spare change? Both father and son reached in their pockets and pulled out all the change and said, take what you need. And the homeless man took it all and said, thank you so much, and put it in his pocket and went back to the wall, and they took two steps, and guess what the father remembered? I need a quarter to make a call to the pizza place. I gave my last quarter away. And so he looked back at the homeless guy and said, excuse me a second, do you have any change? And the man pulled the change out of his pocket and said, take what you need. And he took a quarter. It's amazing how quickly we can move from the one who is the one who is the giving and the one who needs to be receiving. For those of us who are married, it is amazing in my life how quickly I can open up a can of worms and how quickly I want to get them back in because I need to start asking for forgiveness. Is there anybody else in here that's ever opened a can of worms that you shouldn't have opened up and you went from having a normal good life and a great day to one in which you were, you can't get those worms back in the can. We go from needing to giving. And as quick as we think we are willing to forgive, as soon as we forgive someone, we're going to need to ask for forgiveness. This chapter, I talked about it last week, is a chapter of the Bible that deals with the community of faith. How important it is for the community of faith, community, to have unity. You see, and we get to this place where we talk about forgiving those who sin against us, and sometimes sin looks differently to other people. If someone disagrees with us, sometimes we think they owe us an apology for disagreeing with us. Doesn't have to be anything big, it just needs. We have helped people who have sinned against us who might have come to you to talk about something that's wrong with your relationship. The way we go about speaking the truth can be both loving grace and vindictive and mean-spirited. How we receive it in many ways depends on whether we're giving or receiving. And sometimes we think we're going to be giving and we end up having to receive it. But unity in the church, as we talked about last week and in the life of Paul, was the ultimate. The body and its ability to model the life of Christ under the power of the Holy Spirit is of such paramount importance. For without it, we end up being people at a masquerade party with bad costumes. There are churches who put on the costumes, and when people walk in, they say, I don't really know what a Christian's supposed to look like, but if this is what Christianity is supposed to look like, I don't want any part of it. Even non-Christians can taste, know what the real thing is. Remember those taste tests they used to do between real Coke and new Coke? Or the Pepsi and the new Pepsi, or the new generation, or whatever it is? Most people could tell the difference. So when someone comes and tastes our broken form of Christianity, it's easy to tell what we might be living is not Christ-like. Because you see, we live in the tension of being both saint and sinner. We believe in the communion of the saints. And in the midst of being saint and sinner, there are some days we are more sinner than saint. Amen? It's bad when the church ends up showing more sinner than saint. Because what sums up the law and the prophets? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Golden rule. It sums up the law and the prophets. And that's what's important. It's important. And so what we look at as we think about Peter and his question, this is what I'm thinking. Peter has a way of wanting to always be seen and thought of as somebody who's special. He really does. He's on the Mount of Transfiguration. I think it's a great thing, Jesus, that we build three sheds, three tabernacles, one for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses, because it's good for us to be here with you. We want to be here with you. I don't care what anybody else says or does, I will never betray you or deny you. Remember, he likes to say that boastfully. And so I figure when he asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive? Is it seven times? Because I've already forgiven him eight. And then Jesus says, this did not make any translation of the Bible, but this is what Jesus said. Peter, I know I told you there was no stupid question, but this is a stupid question. Because he says, the question is, how many times must I forgive somebody? And what Peter is thinking is about some other person. And what it really is about, how many times I have forgiven you, Peter. Because when we sin against somebody else, we also are sinning against God. Say, nod your head, please. And so when we think about forgiving this person over here who might have sinned against us, I've forgiven them seven times. Well, you've probably sinned against somebody seven times, but you've sinned against more than that one person. And so you multiply all the times you've sinned against other humans, other beings, children, whatever, and you add those all together, and you've sinned against God that many times, and yet God wants to forgive us. You see, Peter is standing there being the man who owes Jesus thousands of bags of gold. And what he deserves is to be sold, and his wife and his children sold, and all his belongings sold to pay the debt. But Jesus doesn't do that. You see, Peter and us, more times than not, are owed chump change, and we won't forgive them, while we have been forgiven for thousands of bags of gold worth of sins. That makes it difficult, doesn't it? You see, because somewhere in this story, we are Peter, or we're the one that Peter won't forgive, or we're standing before Jesus seeking for forgiveness. You see, we're either talking about social issues and justice, and then all of a sudden we're hit with the reality that just what I said about social justice and treating other people, do I really have to do it? Or can I do what I really want to right now? That happens in life. We say one thing in church, we profess our faith in church, we with our friends and family and brothers and sisters in Christ around us, and then we walk out the door and we're confronted with what we just said we do and believe. And when we don't do what we say and believe and hear, we pretty much sinned against God and humanity. And so someone asks us for a little bit of change, and we either say no or take what you want. And Jesus is always saying, take what you want. Take what you need. Because that's what he's done for us. We come in the need of forgiveness and grace and mercy. And he honors us with that. What are we going to do with everyone else? I hope we're going to show them grace and mercy and honor them. and love them the way Jesus has loved us. Because do unto other as you would have them do unto you also summarizes the New Testament. Let us pray. Lord God, forgive us when our skin is thick. Forgive us when our skin is tender. Forgive us when we are not willing to offer forgiveness, when we are not willing to meet people where they are. Help us to be those who say, take what you need. You need to know what I know. You need to know what I love. And that's Jesus. Lord, forgive us when we're not like you. Forgive us when we are like the debtor who is not willing to forgive. But Lord, may we praise you every day in the way we love one another. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.